Earth, sky.
You know, it was not my goal to go kill the planet Pluto. My goal when I started out doing my search of the outer solar system was to find a 10th planet. But as I was doing the search, and as we were finding more and more things the size of Pluto, it became quite apparent that Pluto really didn't occupy this special place in the solar system. It was just one of many other things like it.
You're listening to astronomer Mike Brown of Caltech, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Brown has discovered hundreds of objects in the outer limits of our solar system, including the dwarf planet Eris. It later caused astronomers in 2006 to demote Pluto as a planet. Brown is the author of How I Killed Pluto and Why It Had It Coming, and he spoke more with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
You discovered hundreds of objects beyond the orbit of the planet Neptune, including the object that killed Pluto, in a sense. In a nutshell, what work goes into discovering those tiny worlds out there? How do you do it?
In a sense, discovering these things is conceptually very simple. Everything in the solar system moves. It goes around the sun and is relatively close by compared to the stars that are much further away. So when you look up in the sky, all the stars and all the galaxies are in the same fixed positions night after night after night, and anything in the solar system moves across the sky. If the thing in the solar system is close to you, like the moon or even a meteor shooting through the atmosphere or something, it moves very quickly. And if a thing in the solar system is far away, like something out beyond Neptune, it moves very slowly. So all we really do to find these things is take a picture of the sky and come back an hour later, take another picture of the sky, and then simply look for anything that moves. It's the same thing that was done by Clyde Tombaugh to find Pluto. He would take a big photographic plate of the sky, come back the next day, take another photographic plate, and look for that one thing that moves. So conceptually, it's relatively simple. The difficulty is that the technical difficulty is that since we didn't know where in the sky these things were for which we were looking, we basically had to cover the whole sky, and that's a daunting task. The sky is a huge place if you want to take very highly magnified pictures of the whole thing.
Maybe I could get you to maybe explain a little bit more about why the planet Pluto, why it had it coming, why it needed to be demoted, in your opinion.
Having this classification that we now have, realizing that the solar system consists of eight very large dominant things that define the solar system, they are the architecture of the solar system, is these eight dominant objects that are then surrounded by little bits of debris that are going in and out of the orbits of these dominant objects that are the planets. And it's that realization that led to the demotion of Pluto, the realization that Pluto is not this unique object in the solar system in the way that the eight planets are. It's really part of this whole field of debris. And I think a lot of people have the wrong impression of Pluto because of the sort of images of the solar system that we're often presented with. I've really gotten to know this well in the last couple of years as I see the things that people give to my daughter because they think it's funny to give her things that have Pluto as a planet on them. And you see these images of the solar system where there are nine planets that are more or less the same size. You see Jupiter is a little bit bigger than the Earth, and the Earth is a little bit bigger than Mercury, and Mercury and Pluto are about the same size, and there are nine of these big bodies in the solar system. And that view of the solar system is thoroughly incorrect. It's just not the way the solar system really looks. And if the solar system did look that way, even I would think that demoting Pluto didn't make sense. But I think that a lot of people think that that is the solar system. The real view of the solar system is Jupiter is huge compared to anything else out there. The Earth is much, much smaller than Jupiter. And Pluto is even tinier still. It's half the size of our own moon. And getting that correct impression of what the solar system is really like out and having people really understand what the universe around them looks like, the real solar system instead of the cartoon solar system, I think is an incredibly important part of astronomers trying to educate the public. So I think not only did Pluto have it coming in the sense that it never was this big, important part of the solar system. But it actually matters a lot. It matters that we explain this to the public. We educate people on what their universe is actually like.
Thinking back, did you ever consider, like, you know, maybe I want to be on the Pluto side. I want to be on the 10th planet side as opposed to the 8th planet side.
At first I thought, okay, it doesn't matter. If Pluto's going to be a planet, Eris can be a planet, there can be 10 planets, and we don't really need a scientific definition of the word planet. I mean, to have Pluto and Eris be called planets, you just have to give up on science and just say, well, we call them planets because planet doesn't really mean anything, and that's what we want them to be. It's kind of like the word continent. The word continent doesn't actually mean anything. It's just continents are the things that we say they are, and planets could be the same way. And that was okay. It would mean that I got to have discovered the 10th planet. That seemed like an okay thing to me. And it would mean that there was no good scientific definition of the word planet, and that didn't seem so good. But I didn't think there was any other good solution. In the end, when astronomers started grumbling about some of the proposed definitions and finally got together and considered basically kicking Pluto out, or actually kicking the one I had discovered, Eris, out, and Pluto along with it. When it became clear that astronomers really were going to try to get together and actually have the determination to do this, I was thrilled. Even though I lost Eris as the 10th planet, I suddenly realized that we had an opportunity to actually make a scientific definition of the word planet that described the solar system correctly. And it's such a beautiful thing. The solar system is arranged in such a beautiful way with these 8 dominant things and everything else flitting around between them, that if we can have our cultural view of what the solar system is, which is really enshrined in the word planet, if we can have that cultural view mesh with the scientific view, I would gladly trade my discovery of a 10th planet for really furthering the overall world's understanding of how the solar system is. So I'm very happy with the way it worked out.
Well, Dr. Brown, thank you for speaking with us. Today's my final question. What's the most important thing you want people today to know about Pluto?
I would say the most important thing to know about Pluto is that in the scale of the solar system, it is insignificant debris, in the same sense that all of those things that I have discovered in the solar system are insignificant debris. On the scale of the solar system, while the 8 planets dominate everything that goes on, Pluto and all the other things like Pluto are simply dominated by these 8 planets. They're kicked around. They're on these crazy elliptical orbits and tilted orbits, whereas the planets are on these nice, stately, orderly orbits on the inside. And so I think that's the important thing to remember about Pluto. It's not this special planetary class object out past Neptune. It's just one of many, many things like it that is in that grand scale of the solar system, just a little speck of debris.
You've been listening to astronomer Mike Brown of the California Institute of Technology. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.